You're listening to Novelbound, a podcast dedicated to making you laugh and keeping you company. Each week, we're sharing all of our favorite books and the embarrassing side of life. Welcome back to Novelbound. I'm Anna.
And I'm Celine.
And today we're going over the books releasing in 2023 that we cannot wait for.
And like some of them have already come out because we're that ahead.
Yep.
Welcome.
Everyone. Books in 2023 that we're just excited to read. Yeah. Do I know them?
It's a gift. Okay, yeah. So our cold open today was, what do you want to say it?
Oh yeah, okay, so we're going to go over like what our purse looked like in high school, like what the contents of them were.
Yeah, like what, I feel like we can tell each other's personalities based off of like what was in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I also feel like I can predict like based off of what year it was.
Oh gosh, yeah.
I saw this thing on TikTok and I thought it was so funny. It was like the playlist that you used to listen to in middle school is now the same age as a middle schooler. And I was like, stop it.
Not okay. Not okay with that.
Get out of here. Like, that's
take that information back. I did not voluntarily want to learn that.
Or it was like, you were born in 1995 and then someone is telling you that you're not 21. And I'm like, same. Like, I don't understand.
What do you mean I'm not 21? Yes, I am.
There is a part of me that genuinely believes that I'm 21. And
same.
I'm sometimes woken up and I'm like, oh no, I'm 27.
I came to the realization next year, Jalen, my husband, turns 30 next year.
Tanner turns 29 in 2 days, so it'll be the same
thing. Yeah. I was like, wait, if you turn 30 next year, that means that I turn 29 next year. I'm like, I'm 21, how's that even possible?
I know. Once I hit 30, I'm going to be like, it's the pandemic, right? Like, that's what...
Yeah.
It was like, what are you talking about? I'm 24. And you're like, no. And I'm like, it's still 2019. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
like,
no.
Yeah. Oh, so annoying. Like, how inconsiderate of time to pass. Ooh,
okay, yeah.
So go ahead. Tell me what's in your purse. I really, like, honestly, I'm asking this question because I want to know what's in your purse.
Okay. I'm like, the things that come to the top of my head most, like, immediately is the, like, old, not the old school, but like the old design of like the Bath and Body Works hand sanitizer, the like squared bottle. But then they also used to sell lip glosses. Do you remember that? And there were lip glosses that would like pump your lips. Or they wouldn't pump them, but they would have like the minty.
The pumped lips lip gloss was everything. But
Mother Plucker or Mother Pumper, something like that.
And I got mono from her.
Oh, wow. That's unfortunate.
I gave it to my mom, who now has Crohn's, and I'm like, oh, that was not a great thing to give to my mom.
Not the move. It's not the vibe.
I was like, I'm sorry I borrowed her lip gloss. It's up to no good in some places.
Yeah. That's really sad, but also funny. Yeah, because everyone said that the like Bath and Body Works peppermint lip gloss, that was like...
Or the Victoria's Secret. Like, do you remember?
Oh, Bombshell? Is that what it's called? The little fragrance that everyone loved? Or it was that or Love Potion.
Love Potion was all... These are the things that I wished and that girls in my high school had that I wanted so badly. And I bet you're going to go, oh, I had that. Oh, I had that.
Oh, we'll see. We'll see.
Let's test it out. Okay. So for me, what I had was I had my homework and a book. And like I always had the lotion from Bath and Body Works, though. I was a lotion girl. And in my locker, I always had the spray.
I always had the sweet pea. That was like, I loved the sweet pea.
I can smell it the second that you said that.
Yep.
I was like,
yeah.
Gwyneth was always a warm vanilla sugar girl. So then I became a warm vanilla sugar girl.
Mm.
It's just what it is.
Yeah.
Can you imagine not having a phone? Like I had like my flip phone, but all it could do was call. And you know what I did?
Yeah.
I illegally downloaded. I figured out how to email myself on my phone. Like, the Glee ringtones, and I was so excited that I could
of course you did
of the Glee ringtones.
That's really funny to me.
Yeah. But anyways, okay, so I think that you would have some like the Victoria's Secret lip gloss, which you probably stole from Maria.
Probably. No, I probably stole it from Laura if I stole it from anyone.
That's true. because Laura is like in my brain the same like aspirability as Paris Hilton. Does that make sense? Like iconic. Everybody knows her. So gorgeous.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to tell her that. She'll laugh.
Yeah. So when I think of Laura, I'm like, she is as cool as Paris Hilton. What is it? Was it one of those like little gray gather bags?
I had a Target like crossbody bag and it was green.
I had a Vera Bradley.
Oh, I had the Vera Bradley wallet. You know, those little wallets that everyone had. I had one of those.
Yeah. No, my grandma got me one because my cousins really loved them. And so she's like, you're just going to love these Vera Bradleys. And so I, that thing got disgusting.
Oh, I bet.
It was not water resistant.
No. You know what's funny is my grandma got me Vera Bradley all the time too. Is it just like a grandma thing to gift Vera Bradley?
They're like, finally, we have the same taste or something. I don't know. And I'm like, I would wear that. I would have my Vera Bradley bag and my skinny jeans that were like usually like an electric blue because.
Oh, yeah.
And I would tuck them into Uggs.
Mm.
With like.
At least you had Uggs and not bear claws.
No, girl. They were the Walmart Uggs. They were not. You think I could afford Uggs? No.
I don't know.
$20 ones. They were half melted. The second it would rain, like the entire bottom would just be soft. Bear claw, who is she? I don't know her.
You know what though? At least you never had to worry about ruining an expensive pair of shoes. One time for Christmas, my dad got me a pair of Uggs with the little bows in the back, and somebody stole them when I was cheering at a basketball game, and I was so embarrassed that I'd never even told him. So sorry, Dad.
Your dad's definitely listening to this conversation. We just talked about the contents of our purse. And your dad's like, that sounds fascinating. Let me keep listening to it. Great. Now that we've gotten all the men out of the room, let's talk about the real stuff. Just kidding.
I will say I was on the EOS lip balm kick for a hot minute. So I probably had an EOS in my bag.
Who was I obsessed with? Girl, I was such a manic pixie, like pick me girl. Mm. Let me tell you, I had a blank canvas, like sketch pad in my book.
Oh my gosh.
And I would have my guitar in my bag.
I'm just being so inspired, guys. I'm just inspired.
No, because like I would like print out pictures and then I would draw and like write song lyrics because I was so like that's why. Wow.
We love it. I will say I probably had salt packets, and to this day I will have salt packets in my purse. I'm a salty girl.
Girl, wait, that was so off. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah. Salt packets?
Yeah, for my french fries, if my french fries need salt, I'm not trying to eat saltless french fries.
That, it just is confusing to me that it's become such a need to you that to this day you still carry around salt packets.
Yes, I do. Because you know what? I'm not trying to be somewhere with bland food and have to work my way through it.
That's true.
I'll have salt.
You're a hoe for good food.
I'm trying to like, why that's running through my head is I'm trying to remember like, did I do when I was in high school that like, and so we would always go to Panera. And I would always get the butter noodles, and they would always need salt.
That I respect. Mm-hmm. Panera, do you feel like Panera and Applebee's, they've, like, decreased in quality?
Yeah, I do, and I don't appreciate it. Like,
Panera used to be, like, this is where you would go if you wanted, like, a really nice meal.
Yeah, like, I used to be like, I'm going to Panera after school with my sister. Mm-hmm. Like, and now it's like, oh, you want Panera?
You want to, like, warm up that canned soup they have back there? Like, that's what it tastes like.
It is.
Their broccoli cheddar, I would never trust it again.
Oof.
However, their Baja mac and cheese is life-changing. I don't even know if they still have it.
You know what? Panera's mac and cheese is really good, even if it comes pre-packaged. It's like that white cheddar. It does something.
How dare you say that to me. No, I like it because they cut up the avocado and they add in, like, it's so freaking good. It's so good. I've never thought of, like, mac and cheese plus, like, avocado and, like, pico de gallo. Like, it's so good. I don't know if you like avocado. Do you like avocado?
I don't like the taste of grass, so no.
You were so polite.
I don't like avocado. Like,
that's what Anna does all the time. I'll say something, and she's like, that's so great. And I'm like, you don't like that, do you? She's like, no, actually, I hate it. But, like, I love that for you.
I love that for you.
I love that for them. Like, bless your heart. So good.
Oh, my gosh. What else? What else? Other than, like, crumpled receipts. I lived with crumpled receipts in my purse.
To be fair, my purse was really just my car, which set on fire, like, the last...
I remember that. I remember you telling me this. Chaotic.
chaotic. And so I feel like I just treated my car as like a purse. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
So
Yes.
like my it
Were
got
you a
put in my
teenage girl if you didn't?
True that. True that. I always had like extra poster boards and stuff because I was the pep rally commissioner at my school.
Oh, that's really funny.
So I was the girl that was like, everybody, like, boo, 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 the football team, boo, boo, come out.
We would always have
I was
practice
such a
after
cheerleader.
school, and so
What?
I had clothes. I would leave the clothes that I wore that day to change into
Yeah.
like my practice clothes. So I had a whole closet in my car.
I want to believe that you and I would have been friends in high school, but I feel like I would have been so intimidated by you in high school that I never would have spoken to
We would
you.
have been friends because on the face, I was like, "Oh yeah, I was a cheerleader, and that's so cool." No, I was not cool. I was not cool, and I did not hang with all of the other cheerleaders. We were not friends.
No, I still would have been. I think that's how it is with everybody. Like in high school, I would just be like, yeah, they're too cool. I can't talk to them. Like we would have been like, hi, I'm a nice person. We could have been friends. I would have been like, no, you don't want to be my friend. You're lying.
I could see that. No problem, actually.
Like me not realizing that you were trying to be my friend for like 2 years.
RIP those 2 years. It's okay.
Know. We could have gone to Mexico or something together.
Could have.
Okay, we really want to start off by just talking about the spare book. I feel like that's where we should start.
Yes, I think that's a
Okay.
great idea. So do you I'm we're interviewing her actually, Stacy.
Oh no, I'm talking about the spare book that's over
Oh,
here.
wow. I thought you were throwing us into that and I was like, "Girl, we're not ready to talk about this yet." Spare that Prince Henry wrote.
Yes.
The drama that the tea that means like we have such strong opinions about this and we
We have
actually don't
very
know anything.
different. This is the
We
first time we're gonna be discussing about this. I was like, we have to wait for the podcast.
Yeah. Well, I am so annoyed by it all. And I don't know anything. It's not like I've done research into this. I just see like all the clips from the interviews and I watched the Oprah Winfrey interview with Meghan and then I saw another interview with Harry.
Okay, I didn't watch those. Did you watch the whole thing or did you just watch clips?
I just watched clips and I'll tell you this, the tea that I do know that I feel like represents how this whole thing has gone down with them is so Harry hasn't done interviews with any like British magazine or company or whatever. And he finally did one recently and they were like, he brought up, the interviewer brought up, he was like, the royal family was being racist towards Meghan. And he said, I never said that. And he was like, well, you did say that like she, there were like statements that came out that she was treated differently and that like it wasn't as warm. And they were like, so that's being racist. And he's like, no, I never said that. So he like was backtracking on all of that. But if you watch the clips with Meghan, when she's talking to Oprah Winfrey, she was like, I was treated differently. And when our son was first born, we weren't given security because it was just different and he looked different. Like, you know what she was trying to say without quite
Were you
saying it.
silent or were you
Were
silenced?
you silenced? Literally, yeah. I just think that everything they're doing right now is so attention grabbing. And like, she knocks his fam. Like, he just sits there while she knocks his family. That's his family. And she talks crap about them. It's when she talks about first meeting the queen and she's like, I had to curtsy like to this old woman. And that's his grandmother. And yeah, the Queen of England. I literally am like,
Is like you like if I met Tanner's grandma, when I met Tanner's grandma, I brought her like a little treat and I was like, thanks so much for like
yeah.
having me over. And she's like, how dare I? And I was like, if your husband to be is curtsying to his grandmother, don't you think you should?
Yeah. Well, and I'm like, take away the fact that she's the Queen of England. She's still his grandmother. And like, that's just the older generation. They just expect different things, which I think is fine. Like, make them happy. They're old people. Who cares?
Who cares? Okay. May she rest in peace.
God rest the Queen.
Isn't it interesting that they waited for her to be dead before they released this information?
Oh, absolutely not. Because you know that, like, I think as much as cat like a cash grab that they're trying to do right now that they've left the royal family, I think Harry still a little bit was like, but if my grandma found out about that, like, that would be embarrassing for him.
No, that, and it's like, I don't know what's up with King Charles. I don't know. Like, there's been a lot of like stuff that's coming out that I'm kind of like, is this like the demolition of the royal family? Although I will say, I would die for Kate Middleton.
Oh,
Middleton's.
I would too.
He is always effortless, and I feel like they have it together. Like I and okay, so you know when Henry was like, sorry, not Henry, Harry was like, oh my gosh, there was an article that came out about like a snippet from his book where he says that his brother like pushed him down or whatever. And I was like, after all the crap you've done and he's only pushed you down once. I'm like, I'm not really worried about.
No.
I'm
Yeah.
like,
Well,
and like,
and
not only did he impact like their family, the unit, but they impacted the monarchy as a whole.
oh,
And
yeah,
I
they
was
did.
literally, and like, he's just like, how dare he? And I was like, William immediately apologized and was trying to like be like, hey, I'm sorry, I was really frustrated, but like, I'm sure he wasn't even trying. I don't know. And I'm not even like on William's side, but I'm just like, I know that I'm the oldest of five, and I'm like, if any of my siblings did crap like that, I would be like, what are you doing? Like, get it
Yeah.
together. And
Yeah.
I don't even
No.
spank my own kid, and I'd be like,
Would.
being stupid.
Yeah. I even remember I know more about this than I thought I did. It's because for a hot minute I like a bunch of videos on my TikTok would show up about like recapping
That was
like the
probably my
history.
fault. That was probably my fault
I'm okay
whenever
with
I was
it.
on our account.
I was okay with it. When like so when William started dating Kate and like they made it public, like apparently her and Harry were like super close and they always hung out, and, like he was always hanging out with them. But then I guess when Meghan came into the mix, like it just things got so frigid and weird. And do you remember when the media started trying to say that Kate Middleton was copying Meghan's style? And I was like, no, honey.
She's been a classic forever. In fact, if you look on
Yeah.
my Pinterest board, it's just Kate Middleton outfits because she's a queen.
She's a queen.
Also, I listened to a 7-hour podcast about Meghan Markle's entire life, so like ask me anything. I am ready to go. Like
I know that she was in Suits because we watched Suits.
I loved Suits. I loved Suits. That was like there's a part. Do you ever have like a show that like takes place, you watch it in your marriage and you're like, "Oh, that's the era where we watch Suits every night." Like do you know what I'm
Yeah,
talking about? Like
I
there's
do.
There was a point where Taryn and I was like, we would just come home from work, eat food, and then immediately turn on Suits. And to the
Yeah.
point where I was like, I can't stop thinking about. In fact,
Too
Eleanor.
obsessed with it. You needed a break because you're like, that's
Yeah.
definitely happened. Yep.
The book character, Eleanor, in my book, like literally all I know about lawyer stuff is from Suits. So if you're like, wow, she knows a lot. Nope, I just watched Suits the whole time.
Respect. I respect it.
Okay, but no, so I think that. She just, it's the TikTok audio that I just heard where she was like, so what do you like to watch for television?
I was literally gonna bring that up because it's
Oh,
so
tell him,
annoying
tell him.
her answer. Well, she there the interviewer's like, okay, what are you watching? Are you watching these shows right now? And she's like, well, when we put our son down to bed, I usually try to do like a couple wordles.
A
No,
little
there's one
wordle.
wordle of the day. You do one wordle of the day.
I play a little wordle.
And then she was like, and then we try to have time, and like there's not really a lot of things to watch, so sometimes you get stuck, and like the
Like
endless mindless scrolling.
if we watch
Oh,
TV,
yep.
you're acting like I don't have this entire thing memorized at this point. I'm
You
like,
better
if
finish
we
that
watch
for me.
TV, if we watch TV, we do that mindless scrolling thing, and then if we do settle on, you know, I do like we really try to pick stories that have like really interesting convictions and character perspectives. So I guess that like White Lotus is okay. I was like, oh my gosh, just say White Lotus.
I literally 3 minutes just to be like White Lotus. Just say, you know what? We've been casually watching White
Oh.
Lotus.
Wait. Also did the she does Wordle and then she does Duolingo because she's trying to get her friend
French.
back.
Yep. Yes. I literally had to scroll through the comments on that video because I knew she was gonna get torn apart. Everyone was like, do you think she just likes to hear herself talk? Do you think she just forgot what she was talking about amidst the calming voice of her own voice in her
I
head?
mean, her voice is great. She's so pretty to look at. And to be fair, we're judging her based off of like an edit of an edit of an
Yeah,
edit.
we
So like we
are.
have no idea who this woman is. She could probably be so nice. But here's my thing is like I was really excited about the spare book because I was like, what is it like? We've never heard from the royal family of what it's actually like to be a part of the royal family. And all we get is this stupid narrative about Henry like looking at and I'm like, could we just like I would love to hear a book from Kate Middleton talking about her life as a royal.
Yeah, she was married into it. She wasn't born into it.
And
That
I
was mine.
genuinely feel like, do you think, by the way, do you think that William has little mistresses?
I don't I want to say no because they seem like so happy.
They really do. I feel like they are 100% married to each other. Like, I always see stuff and I'm like, I genuinely think that they have a long time enduring relationship and they dated for so long.
They really did.
Yeah. Also, gosh, she was so hot in college.
I know. They both were. I mean, he's going
She
bald now,
was
so that's
so
really sad
hot.
for him. She still looks amazing.
She looks incredible. Good night. Like, screw the prince. Like, I'm all for the princess. What was I going to say? He looks like an accountant.
He does. I'm like, you have all that money. You could get like a hair treatment, hair
Toupee.
follicles, like a toupee at least. Yeah.
I am so confused on that. But like also like this, what do you think about King Charles and
Queen
Queen
Camilla.
Camilla? Camilla, morning, noon, and night. Okay, why is this all just like me quoting TikTok?
Oh, all I know, literally the only thing I know is the audio from the show The Queen, where it's like, Camilla is where my loyalties lie. And it's like, not the mother of your children. Yeah.
Yeah, basically. So, that's all we know is this is our interpretation of the royals based off of only TikTok. So, you're
Yeah.
welcome.
We're so knowledgeable and we are very factual.
I do know a lot about her, about who she married in California and why she broke up with him and stuff like that. Like, I know all of that. And I also know like how she met the prince and
I
like the
did watch a thing also that was like, it kind of made it sad because, like, you just feel bad for Diana and Charles because I think from the beginning, even everyone who knows him personally is always like, it was always Camilla for Charles. But, like, they kind of made him marry Diana. So it wasn't fair to either of them.
No. I also think that they're all just so socially awkward and they don't know how to be normal people. Except
Yeah.
for Kate Middleton, she's perfect.
She is perfect.
I will die on that
Kate
hill. Like
Middleton, if you're listening to this, we love you.
Kate Middleton, if you come on our podcast.
Oh yeah. Yeah, she'll totally come on our
She'll come on
podcast.
our podcast, she'll be like, "Hey guys, what's up?"
What's up? Launched into instant stardom. So much so that the media would hate us because they hate anything having to do
No, they would hate Meghan Markle because that's all we were talking about. They'd be like, not that we're gonna talk about anyone, but like, what are your opinions of like American actresses?
royals. American actresses who were on this one show by lawyers.
She's like, I couldn't. I'm just gonna talk generally. So American actresses are on shows written by about lawyers. Okay, we need to talk about books in 2023.
Yes, we do. Okay, I'll start.
Megan's listening to this, being like, I thought you guys knew me. She's listening to our podcast.
She's feeling so betrayed.
After she finishes playing Wordle, she listens to the Novel Bound podcast.
I just love to turn on Novelbound Yeah, right. Okay.
We have manifested by accident so many things. Can you imagine if we manifested?
Oh my gosh. Never forget when we were first reviewing Adrienne Young's book Fable, and we were like, we would never put a sticker on our book. Ugh. And then she's like, I'm listening to your episode. It's so funny. And we were like, ah.
Now we like know her. I'm like, this
Yeah.
is yeah. So Kate Middleton, we love you. Hopefully I haven't totally outed myself.
I'm sure we're safe.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. My first book, This Cursed Light by Emily Theed. It's the second book in the This Vicious Grace series. It's called the Fenestra series, actually, I think. But it comes out August 15th. And do I even read the back page? Because it's kind of a spoilery for the first book if you've never read it.
Read in this cursed light part, desperate for
Okay.
answers.
In This Cursed Light, desperate for answers, Dante enlists Alessa and their friends to find the exiled Guillotine in hopes of restoring his powers and combining the forces with them to create the only army powerful enough to save them all. But Alessa is hiding a deadly consequence, a growing darkness, and their destination holds more dangers than anyone bargained for. They go to this mysterious city,
Just kidding, you
and
can't read anything.
I know,
It's
I'm
all a
like,
spoiler.
He will uncover secrets and ghosts from his past. So I think mainly this the first book is more Alessa and the second book is more Dante.
Ooh, that's hot. Can I also just put in that why do sequels do that? Like, why do sequels go after the death of blah 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 blah? And I'm like,
The
dude.
most plot twist thing to ever happen is within the first sentence of the next book's back page excerpt.
Yeah, they just do it dirty. But to be fair, I've never had to write a sequel back cover. I've barely had to write a synopsis for my own,
You're
so.
right. We don't know, but we can We can assume safely, maybe. But this comes out August 15th, so you still have plenty of time to read the first book and
You
pick this one
should,
up.
because
The first book is really good.
it's the only book I would ever reread.
That's a lie, but that's okay.
Why? What other books do you think I'm out here rereading, Anna?
Don't know, but I know for a fact that you could read any of Stephanie's books.
So Anna and I were preparing for when we were preparing for one of our episodes for with Stephanie, we were trying to like we're like, oh, we'll reread like what was it, Once Upon a Broken Heart, and we ended up both of us just like starting over with Caraval and just being like, I just love this world so much.
It was sad.
It's sad because Stephanie Garber can only produce one book a year. That's what's sad. Like,
Yeah, that is.
how dare she be a human being that wants to create a good
Right?
story?
The nerve.
I'm like, what? These Kindle novellas, they're whipping them out.
They're whipping them out pretty
I don't
fast.
understand.
You
They're keeping
can't
up.
do that.
Speaking of which, here's the books that I'm excited. And I read this book. I read an arc of it
Good.
on NetGalley, which now that I can say that, I feel really cool. To be fair, everyone can do this. So if you don't.
Yeah, most people can. In fact, there's a book that I have on here that I was like, is anybody excited to read this? And somebody was like, all right, I have an arc for it. And I was like, why don't I have an arc for it? Why do you
Yeah.
have it before I do?
I think we have to go on NetGalley and just request them.
We do, but that's just the problem is we're lazy.
Yes.
I'm lazy. I won't involve you in my laziness.
No, Emily just finds the books for me and she just clicks them. So it's really just I'm here because of Emily.
We love you,
Didn't she
Emily.
set up our NetGalley account? We get
Maybe.
emails all the time of people just being like, click here to read this book, click here to read this book, and then we don't click on them. But once we click on it, then we can read the books.
Yeah, that is true.
Okay, so back to Abby Jimenez. So she wrote the book Part of Your World, which I think we did an actual episode all about.
We did. You
And we talked
vibed
about
hard
how
with
he
it.
was
I did too,
like,
it was good. I said you vibed hard with it.
I vibed so hard. And I read this book. I think I started it at 10 p.m. and I read it until 4 a.m. the next day, which was this week, which is why I'm incredibly tired.
Yeah, makes sense.
I deserve no pity. I could not put it down. I also like, I know that there's really good fantasy books out there, but like, I have this, such a short attention span right now that trying to read a book that has any form of world building, I like, my brain just
No.
explodes. I have world worry.
Yeah, I'm having that problem too, so you're not alone.
I'm like, it needs to be so easy. I need someone to spoon feed me the words. Like, I cannot. So here's what it is. Dr. Brianna's Ortiz's life is seriously flatlining. Her divorce is just about finalized. Her brother's running out of time to find a kidney donor, and that promotion she wants, oh, it's probably going to the new man doctor who's already registering 80 friggin' 7 on Brianna's pain in my booty scale. But just when all systems are set to hate, Dr. Jacob Maddox completely flips the game by sending Brianna a letter. And it's a really good letter, like the kind that proves that Jacob isn't actually Satan. Worse, he might actually be this fantastically funny and subversively likable guy who's terrible at first impression. But suddenly, he and Bri are exchanging letters, sharing lunch dates in her sob closet, and discussing the merits of freakishly tiny horses. That's all, by the way. All of this happens in like the first three chapters. There's so much more after this, and it's delicious. But when Jacob, actually, I'm not going to read this part, because. That is, I read this book blind because I would read anything this woman writes me or like has for me, and it was
Was
so
it like
good.
a delight to find out?
No, it's on the back. He gives her brother his kidney, and he does it
Right.
anonymously. Like, and but and like you, that's what I was like ready for that kind of to happen. Like, she's not gonna know, and the way that like things play out is so surprising because you know how it's like, oh, this is like a non-communication thing. No, like every time, like there's great communication.
We
That
love great communication.
I have to tell you some of the things. So there's only one spicy scene, and it's not even that spicy to the point where I was like, I need this. Like, I almost was like, wait, that's it? That's all there is? So like, and like, you know, obviously it's not even a full scene. It's probably like 2 pages at the most. It's so
Okay.
quick, and it's such a quick moment. Okay. Abby Jimenez, and I love this part. Abby Jimenez's books are like chicken soup for the soul with a little extra spice that refers to the angsty parts. They actually have healing powers, embracing both your heart and soul and whispering in your ear, everything's going to be okay. I would just randomly start crying while reading this book because it made me so happy. Like, I
Oh.
was just like, I like kept looking over at Tanner, who was asleep, and just being like, I love him so much. Like, nothing traumatic happens. These characters have like conflict that they overcome. But it's not torn towards each other. They all act rationally towards each other. And the tension that builds between them, the way that they love each other and connect to each other, So it's basically two broken heart soul second chance story. And it's enemies to lovers mixed with fake dating. And it's so cute.
Mm.
And you get to see Alexis from part of your world. It was a 5 out of 5.
I was going to guess. I was like, what? She's a doctor. And I know that Alexis was a doctor.
Yeah. So Alexis comes in and we get to see her perfect little man. And
aww.
It is. It's just like the book like tucks you into bed and gives you mm-hmm. a kiss at night. I kept being like, isn't everything supposed to explode? When does everything explode?
And it didn't.
And it really
does. That's a treat.
It's so good. So if you just need like a really happy book, that's it.
That's a perfect one. When does it come out? Do you know?
Yeah, I think it comes out in April.
Okay, amazing. You love it.
Yeah.
Okay, my next one is Symphony for a Deadly Throne by E.G. Mello. And I've talked about E.J. Mello. I've talked about their books before. The first one that this person wrote is Song. I do. It is escaping me right now. What is it? I have to look it up. A Song of Jet.
I did not expect you to just like be like Mayday, Mayday, like so.
Song of the Forever Rains. That's what it is. I literally was like, maybe if I like wait 5 seconds, it'll come to me. It did not.
It left you on red. I also am going to tell you, so that way we can figure out the gender of this person, if they have a gender. It's a woman.
Okay. I'm looking at it now. She's really pretty.
She's gorgeous. You were like, this person, they, and I was like, oh my gosh, Anna, go.
I was like, I do not know.
Her eyes went so wide. Okay, keep going. Go.
Okay, so all of these books, she only has two out, and each book follows the love story of the three sisters. So the first one is the youngest, the second is the middle, and the third will be the oldest. And so this is what it says. Within the world of Adalor sits the Hidden Thief Kingdom, a land overflowing with magic and mayhem. There, the Musai, a trio of deadly sorceresses, serve the reclusive Thief King, delivering punishment and pleasure to the masses. Erebessa Bassett, is the leader of the Musai, conducting their powerful gifts with unyielding precision. But behind her mask of control burns a desire to forge her own path, along with a tumultuous relationship with Zimri Dianyu, I don't know how to say that, her father's right hand and the man who's held her heart since they were children. When an unexpected invitation to vie for the Thief King's throne pulls her into a deadly competition, Erebessa's composure cracks as she finds herself with an impossible choice: give up her greatest love or her greatest ambition. But sacrifices loom large in the Thief Kingdom, for the quest for power always comes at a price. With her and Zimri's future hanging in the balance, Erebessa must decide if she's willing to pay it. I'm very excited. I absolutely loved the first book in this whole series. I loved the youngest sister's story. I thought it was so good. And I really hope that I'll like this too. So, I'm excited. It comes out February 14th. Soon.
Ooh, it's like in a month.
Mm-hmm.
Probably less than a month from when this episode comes out.
Yeah.
My next book and my last. Guys, I have one brain cell at this point. We are 9 days from finding out like what our life is, what's going on. By the time this episode comes out, I'll like know more. But like right now, I'm like, so here's another quick, easy love romance read that will take zero effort for you to think
of.
Oh
my gosh. Those are still good books.
Okay, so this book comes out April 25th, 2023, and it's called Happy Place by Emily Henry. And I just, sunshine and rainbows, and it looks like another beach read.
We love Emily Henry, so.
Love her. A couple who broke up months ago pretend to still be together for their annual week-long vacation with their best friends.
I already love it.
Harriet and Wynn have been the perfect couple since they met in college. They go together like salt and pepper, honey and tea, lobster and rolls. Except now, for reasons they're not discussing, they don't. They broke up 5 months ago and still haven't told their best friends, which is how they find themselves sharing a bedroom at the main cottage that has been their friend group's yearly getaway for the last decade. Their annual respite from the world, where for one vibrant, blissful week, they leave behind their daily lives, have copious amounts of cheese, wine, and seafood, and soak up the salty coastal air. Can we do this? As like... Not like us fake dating, but I just mean like, can we please go and like do a retreat every, like, this sounds amazing. Only this year, Harriet and Wynn are lying through their teeth while trying not to notice how desperately they still want each other, because the cottage is for sale. This is the last week they'll all have together in this place. They can't stand to break their friends' hearts, and so they'll play their parts. Harriet will be the driven surgical resident who never starts a fight, and Wynn will be the laid-back charmer who never lets the cracks show. It's a flawless plan if you look at it from a great distance and through a pair of sunscreen-smeared sunglasses. After years of being in love, how hard can it be to fake it for 1 week? in front of those who know you best.
Yeah, I'm already on board. That sounds really good.
Yeah. I'm literally logging on a NetGalley to request this book right now.
As you should. Okay, my next one is A Ruinous Fate by Kaylee Smith. And this one has already come out. It came out January 3rd. But it looks so good. And the cover is really pretty. I don't know how to say this name. Calliope? I don't know. Calliope Rosewood is a witch with a long streak of bad luck. We're starting off strong. Like all witches in Illustris, her fate is directly tied to witches' dice, powerful artifacts that have blessed her kind with limitless magic, but also set them on a path towards destruction. Cursed with unspeakable powers that terrify even the most dangerous witches and fae, Calla deserted her coven 4 years ago and has been hiding with her two best friends since. But Calla is also hiding a grave secret. She is only three rolls away from becoming the last blood warrior and starting the final war that will decimate her people and eradicate their magic. Whoa. After a betrayal from her ex leads to her one step closer to fulfilling that age-old prophecy, Calla is desperate to do whatever it takes to reset her fate, even if that means journeying into the deadly never-ending forest with said ex and his enticing yet enigmatic older brother to find the one being who can help her forge her own path. As Calla ventures farther into the enchanted woods, she finds her heart torn between her past desires and the alluring new possibilities of her future and learns that choosing your own destiny may come with deadly consequences. Featuring a charming and chaotic ensemble cast of characters, this first book in a planned series by debut author Kaylee Smith will sweep readers away with its utterly immersive world-building, swoon-worthy romance, and action-packed storytelling. It sounds good, doesn't it?
I freaking love that. So what do you think? Like, what got you to be like, this is it, this is the
one? I really like the cover. She has, what's it called when you have two different colored eyes? So one eye is, like, green and one eye is, like, brown. That's like a word. I was one of my like best friends from high school. He had that growing up.
She picked me girl just because she has two different colored eyes. She's like, oh, I have two colored eyes. Like, I just can't beautiful. Be. Oh, stop complimenting me. This is so embarrassing that I'm so beautiful and different. Ugh. Someone's listening to this being like, excuse me. I was born with that. I
know. It just sounds really fun, and I love reading about witches, and, I mean, an enchanted forest, I'm there, say less. Plus, the whole romance sounds, like, really intriguing, so, yeah.
Okay, I definitely, can I tell you the books that I'm interested in, but probably can't read?
Yes.
I really want to read Icebreaker by Hannah Grace, and it's the one that's, like, the hockey player ice skater.
Oh, we could never read that.
We could never read that, but I'm like, oh!
I literally, like, one of the top comments I read was like, I now have a praise kink. I was like, all right, I'm out.
Honestly, I think I would. I mean, like, not that I've ever tried, but, like, I gosh, I hope no one I know is listening.
I know we both pause and are like, the people we know.
We're like, oh, okay, can't look you in the eye. Okay, yeah. So back to that. I also really want to read The True Love Experiment by Christina Lauren. That's coming out this year. I actually feel like I just want to message them on Instagram and be like, send me your book. Because they actually run their own Instagram, which I love. Okay, sparks fly when a romance novelist and a documentary filmmaker join forces to craft the perfect Hollywood love story and take both of their careers to the next level. Ooh. But only if they can keep the chemistry between them from taking the whole thing off script. Okay. You know it's going to be good. It's them.
I know.
And
I know
it's going to be funny and, like, so cute and, like.
Ooh, I need to read it.
He's creating so it's a reality TV show. Mm-hmm. That's what the hook is.
Okay.
So Connor Prince, documentary filmmaker and single father, loves his work in large part because it allows, by the way, I love it when you have like a single mom or like, you know what I mean? Like that's now my age. And I'm like, oh, he likes her beautiful even though she has a mom pooch. I love that.
Relatable.
I'm like, I don't give me heroines with abs anymore. Give me a tired.
I don't want to read about 15-year-old heroine girls because I'm like, do not relate. Cannot relate.
I was like, you've never had to look at yourself in a Target checkout and be like, oh no.
Those cameras humble you though. They humble you in ways that you don't deserve.
No, what's worse is the Walmart ones.
Because the lighting's worse in Walmart.
The Walmart ones, I'm like, you know what? Just arrest me. I didn't even shoplift, but it's fine.
You know what? You're in Walmart. Nobody cares. Everybody else looks the same.
Yeah. Walmart is a place where I'm just like, no one. Okay, hold on. So back to the show. Back to this. Connor's out of his element, desperate to find his romantic lead. A chance run-in with an exasperated Fizzy offers Connor the perfect solution. What if he could show the queen of romance herself, falling head over heels for all the world to see? Fizzy gives him a hard pass unless he agrees to her list of demands. When he says yes and production on the true love experiment begins, Connor wonders if that perfect match will ever be in the cue cards for him too.
It sounds delightful, honestly. And they're so good at being funny. I love a funny romance book.
Yes. I love that person so deeply. Mm-hmm. You want to know the craziest thing is that someone was like, I was like, what's your most anticipated book for 2023? And someone said my book.
You deserve that. That's exciting.
I was like, so marketing's working?
Marketing's working? Yes, honey. I love that.
Okay, what's the next one?
Okay, is Bring Me Your Midnight by Rachel Griffin, which we've talked about this before, but not intensely. And it comes out August 1st. So, whoa.
What?
Sorry. I totally read... I had my notes all mixed up, and for a ruinous fate, that is actually Bring Me a Midnight. I started reading, and I was like, wait, I think I've read this. I copy and pasted the same thing. Okay, wait. So now I have to look up a ruinous fate.
She's doing that, I'll read you all my synopsis. I'll do a self-plug. Everybody, this is me now. This is my time to shine. Are you ready? This is my book. Okay. The best lies you've ever heard are the ones you still believe. Eleanor and Caroline DeLowry inherited more than a luxurious trust fund. Their grandfather's ruthless law firm created a legacy that brought their family to the height of society. His obsession with puzzles and mysteries extended past his death, which includes acceptance into a secret society at Greenbrier, the prestigious Ivy League college they attend. The Greenbrier's alumni are infamous for being powerful. When Caroline's Porsche is discovered at the bottom of a creek, but instead of her body, she'd left a cryptic message that Eleanor can't decode. Eleanor's only lead is the Glass Brigade. Thrown into a world of complex initiations, endless mind games, and generations of buried corruption, Eleanor must determine who she can trust. Even with her whip-smart intelligence, she struggles with the dangerous games that pits initiates against each other. She wants to trust a dreamy lacrosse player who's been keeping her alive, but Eleanor knows that Regan O'Malley is haunted by dark secrets of his own. The one thing she's learned is that this semester, even the most carefully guarded secrets can prove deadly in the wrong hands. Ugh. Regan O'Malley's family had always been prestigious until his father's mysterious death left them penniless and shrouded in scandal. His only chance at uncovering the truth is to re-enter the glittering world. From cliffside escapes to mysterious forest carnivals to ghost towns and haunted snowy mansions where several initiates might not make it out alive, they will risk everything to find out the truth. Eleanor must determine who in her circle caused Caroline's disappearance and who has been pulling strings to sabotage the initiations that become deadlier at every turn.
Oh, sounds amazing, guys, doesn't it?
Thank you.
Just want it in your hands right now.
Writing that synopsis was the hardest thing I have ever done in my life.
It's beautiful. There's a good payoff to it.
In a world where money is never sparse, they can't afford to share secrets. I was like, how many puns can I fit into this document? Okay, go ahead, read your thing.
You made it work. Oh, I also am so embarrassing. So I did read the right excerpt for A Ruinous Fate. I had accidentally copied it onto Bring Me Your Midnight. So let me just read the new one for Bring Me Your Midnight.
There you go.
Yeah, sorry guys. I somewhat have it together today. We're here now.
It's January. What are we supposed to do? Okay. Right.
Thank you. Tana Fairchild's fate has never been in question. Her life has been planned out since the moment she was born. She is to marry the governor's son, Landon, and secure an unprecedented alliance between the witches of her island home and the mainlanders who see her very existence as a threat. Tana's coven has appeased those who fear their power for years by releasing most of their magic into the ocean during the full moon. But when Tana misses the midnight ritual, a fatal mistake, there is no one she can turn to for help until she meets Wolfie. Wolf claims he is from a coven that practices dark magic, making him one of the only people who can help her. But he refuses to let Tana's power rush into the sea, and instead teaches her his forbidden magic, a magic that makes her feel powerful, alive. As the sea grows more violent, her coven loses control of the currents, a danger that could destroy the alliance as well as her island. Tana will have to choose between love and duty, between loyalty to her people and the loyalty to her heart. Marrying Landon would secure peace for her coven, but losing Wolf and his wild magic could cost her everything else. Doesn't it sound good?
It sounds so good. Also, Ruinous Fate is on NetGalley for the audiobook.
Wow. I'm blessed this day.
This episode is sponsored by NetGalley. No, it's not.
This episode is sponsored by NetGalley. Literally gonna download it now and start listening to it. What?
I like that we have the audacity to think that we'll be approved immediately. We're like, yeah, we're novel bound.
Yeah.
We have the word novel in our name. So therefore, all like, us. Approve us.
Wow. What? That's beautiful. See y'all.
All I have to say is that I'm really just looking to see if I can download Rachel's book. I'm like, do we text her? Do we message her?
Do we message her? We will do whatever we have to because we're
obsessed. I'm saying text as if I have her phone number.
What we really mean is message her on Instagram.
And then hope that she sees this out of the 70,000 DMs that she gets.
Right?
Cool. Yeah. It's cool. We're doing great, sweetie.
We're doing so good.
I'm crying in the club. Okay. All that to say, thanks for coming on this week.
Yes.
Thank you. If you made it to the end of this episode, 5 stars.
5 stars for you. Because, wow, did this kind of become a mess at the end? Oh, wait. I have
one
more
book. The beginning, too.
I have one more book. And I'll be so quick because I'm reading it right now. But I have to talk about it because I'm excited about it.
Go.
You're A Song of Silver, Flame of Night by Emilie Wenzel. It's a long back picture, so I'm sorry, but I will be reading
I'll be quick. Just like everybody sit down for 25 minutes. Yeah. It's like when someone gives the closing prayer at church and you're just like.
Oh my gosh. Or when someone blesses the food and you're just like, we get it. And we're all like, so happy to be here. Please.
Brian is struggling with school. Can you get over with it? Give it for your personal prayers. Gosh.
Okay. In a fallen kingdom, one girl carries the key to discovering the secrets of her nation's past and unleashing the demons that sleep at its heart, an epic fantasy series inspired by the mythology and folklore of ancient China. Once Lan had a different name, now she goes by the one the Atlantean colonizers gave her when they invaded her kingdom, killed her mother, and outlawed her people's magic. She spends her nights as a song girl in Haxkong, a city, transformed by the conquerors, and her days scavenging for what she can find of the past. Anything to understand the strange mark burned into her arm by her mother in the last act before she died. The mark is mysterious, an untranslatable hidden character, and no one but Lan can see it. Until the night a boy appears at her tea house and saves her life. Zen is a practitioner, one of the fabled magicians of the Last Kingdom. Their magic was rumored to have been drawn from the demons they communed with, magic believed to be long lost. Now it must be hidden from the Atlanteans at all costs. When Zen comes across Lan, he recognizes what she is, a practitioner, with a powerful ability hidden in the mark on her arm. He's never seen anything like it, but he knows that if there are answers, they lie deep in the pine forest and misty mountains of the Last Kingdom, with an order of practicing masters planning to overthrow the Atlantean regime. Both Lan and Zen have secrets buried deep within, secrets they must hide from others, and secrets that they themselves have yet to discover. Fate has connected them, but their destiny remains unwritten. Both hold the power to liberate their land, and both hold the power to destroy the world. Now the power for the Last Kingdom begins. And it looks so good, like a really good epic, and I, because I'm a loser and cannot get my children to leave me alone for more than an hour, I'm only like 5 pages into it. But so far, it's really good, and it came out January 3rd, so you too could read it.
You right too now. Could be like us.
I know.
The first 5 pages.
You too could be like me, a loser.
Anna is just principled, like by principle, she's like, no, I have to read this really, really intensely world-building book while nursing a 2-month-old and parenting a four or three?
Three.
A 3-year-old? Oh my gosh, Anna, you're 2 under 3.
Yeah, I'm annoying. That's my, because I am annoying. No. Because I think this sounds so good and I want to read it.
Yes. Please sponsor us, NetGalley.
Anyways,
on that note, and message us if you read it. We have a Discord now.
Yes. So
we have like a section where you can talk about the episode. So if there's something that you've read any of these books or you've got an arc or you want to talk about NetGalley or something, you can always just go on a Discord.
You want to talk about how much of a mess this episode was? We'll be there.
You know what? We are just human.
We're trying our best.
Last episode, we were hilarious. So.
Yeah. Yes.
You want to feel some.
Let that,
You know, I feel like they'll be understanding. They'll be like, you know, this episode wasn't your best, guys. But next week.
I know.
I'll try again.
Yeah, please.
Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye.